We've all done it. Stock our fridge with good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice nutrition for convenience. Keep your body and mind nourished with whole body meal shakes from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But it actually tastes delicious. Try one of Kachava's indulgent flavors today. Your future self will thank you. Go to kachava.com and use code FITNESS for 15% off your next order. That's Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.
Good evening, everybody. I'd say it's Friday, but it's not. It's Thursday because we've got a mammoth trip ahead of us, haven't we? Countdown to kickoff. John and I this week to look ahead to the Plymouth game on Saturday. We've got some special guests lined up later on, which I'm looking forward to having a chat with. But John, obviously you went on last week. Do you want to talk to us about how you felt after us getting our first league win?
Just when I thought I was out, they've pulled me back in. I'll tell you what, people say I'm negative, but we might be cooking. I actually like this team now. We've got rid of the dross and we've brought in some very good players. I'll tell you who I do like, Matty Garber. Matty Garber is a bit of me. I said after 10 minutes extra, I said to Ash, this boy's way too good for us. And nothing I have seen since has changed my mind. He looks a player. And I just think we're in so much more of a better position than we were at the start of the season now. Like, I feel I'm looking forward to watching Posh again. And I haven't felt like that for a long time. I mean, I'm going down to Plymouth. I can't believe it. What's going on? It's a big old trip for me, that one. And it's because I am genuinely excited about potentially what we want to get. You obviously don't want to go overboard. We've only just beaten Wickham and the second half wasn't perfect, but I think we had 20 shots. It's been a long time since we did that. And yeah, I just feel a lot more buoyant about it. We're in a much better position than we were August the 1st, let's say August the 7th. The confidence is starting to come back now, Ash. I'm feeling a lot more positive than I was even a few weeks ago.
Good. I've discussed this week, and on reflection, look, a win's a win, but I think that Wickham were poor, weren't they, realistically? I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. I sort of said that we've got 5 games coming up next. I think that we need 10 points from that minimum from 15 total to sort of really say that we're back. And I think that there's still going to be a few bumps along the road, especially whilst we're still trying to get players fit. We're still trying to get players to learn their positions, learn their roles. Obviously, a change of system as well. It's not going to be easy, but fingers crossed that, you know, we can at least... I think this is the important thing with Potter, isn't it? Is that we just want to show a good account of ourselves in this sort of transition. So, yeah, I think that... But let's crack on. Let's bring in our first guest, Sam. This is a man that clearly lots of our viewers know and love. Sam, how are you this evening?
Yeah, you humble me. Yeah, very, very good this evening. And I have to say, that is the best intro sequence of any other pod I've watched, spoken to, been in. It. Thoroughly good work, whoever did that.
I will tell you now, it wasn't me. We have a fantastic team in the behind the scenes that help us massively with our graphics and all of our videos as well. So yes, it's good. I'm glad that you love it. Sam, do you want to talk to me about Plymouth's season so far?
If you'd have asked me 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'd have wanted to talk about pretty much anything else, but it's certainly been on the up the last few weeks. It's difficult to talk about our season without talking about the narrative of our pre-season. We sort of came into it with expectation of, you know, there'd been a lot of talk about we were going to be one of the big players in the league, one of the big spenders in the league, coming, you know, from our boardroom, to be clear. And we sort of ended up in a situation where we were going into the season with a striker who hadn't ever really been good above conference level, and also a goalkeeper who hadn't even been good at conference level, and not much depth anywhere else. So when we were going into that context, I think the hype at the, you know, sort of May and June time didn't match at all the reality of July or August. Pre-season was pre-season. It was probably we beat the teams you'd expect to beat. One at Truro, one at Torquay, and you know, lost to the teams you maybe expect us to lose to. We lost to a German Bundesliga team whose name I can, our Bundesliga 2 team whose name I can never pronounce. We also lost to Bristol City, albeit put in a reasonably creditable performance. There was very much a feeling going into the season that we weren't quite ready, weren't quite prepared from a lot, and that it was going to be a very tough job, particularly with a tough, you know, opening few fixtures. We then proceeded to lose our first four league games. Obviously, Barnsley on the opening day was a creditable enough performance, and we got, you know, unlucky with some very borderline decisions that pretty much all went against us at pivotal points in the game. Then we went to Bolton and were pretty dire. Less said about that, the better. Only ever one winner. Then we went to Lincoln and were somehow even worse until we were already 3-0 down, at which point we began to pull it back. And then there was a home game to Leighton Orient on a Tuesday night. And that was, I think, was the powder keg for a lot. There were a lot of chants that aimed at the board, aimed at, you know, where's the money gone, that kind of thing. And we then, yeah, we then proceeded to sign not only two defenders that we clearly badly needed, but also Talai. You know, I guess you'll probably ask about who our best players are later, so I'll hold off on what's so good about him, but he's made a real difference. And we've won 3 out of 4 since. Admittedly, the one we... I'm only talking league games here. Obviously, we've had a cup as well, but the 3 out of 4 league games, the one we failed to win being admittedly a pretty hefty 4-0 thumping at Cardiff, but they... To be fair, they look the best team in the league by some margin. So, you know, maybe some credit has to go to opposition there, I think. But, it's certainly showing signs of improvement. I think probably the biggest thing is the move to a 3-at-the-back formation. I think Tom Cleverley is in the kind of modern school of coaches with, you know, the people like Xabi Alonso, even like Postecoglou at Celtic when he championed it, Guardiola. A slot who like to have a 4 at the back, dominate the midfield and have the fullbacks invert to really flood the midfield. I think that's Cleverley's absolute dream way of playing. But I feel at Argyle, he has kind of come to realise that we don't quite have the players to do it at the minute. We don't have a natural left footer at left back. Jack McKenzie, who signed from Aberdeen, probably one of the better signings on paper of the summer, turned down Europa League football at Aberdeen to come to Home Park, and he's not played a single minute through injury in I think he played one game of pre-season, and that's literally it. Maybe when he comes back in, it might, you know, he gives us a bit more there, but I think what he's recognised is go for wing-backs, go 3-4-3, you know, have that solidity of a back three, and just accept that, you know, we're not going to be a hoofball team by any means, don't get me wrong. We've not gone from one extreme to the other. We still try and play out, but recognise that we're not going to have so much of the ball. We're not going to have play this kind of, you know, funky, techie style of the fullbacks coming inside. We're going to be a little bit more industrial, let's say, and maybe play on the counter a little bit more than what we did in the first few games. And so far, you can't argue with the results of that. Like I say, since we signed Talai, we've got 9 points out of the possible 12, and since we then moved to 3-4-3 with Talai as the focal point of the front three, we've got 6 points out of a possible 6 against Stockport and Luton, I might add, neither of whom are mugs for this league. So the improvement is legit, but long way to go yet.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that improvement because obviously we only see, well, the highlights. XG is always a stat that can cause a bit of controversy, but I noticed certainly in your last two games or against Stockport and Luton, you were the losers on XG. Has it felt fortuitous, the victories, or have you felt like, no, we deserve to win there and there are just massive improvements and that's the reason why we've won?
I'm going to give a very football cliches answer and say it's a bit of both. I think there have been improvements, without a doubt, but equally, yes, I would be lying if I said there was no dimension of luck that we have come out of that 6 points out of 6. I don't know if you've seen the highlights back in the Luton game, but that third goal should categorically not have happened. It started when Talai tried his luck with his shot from the halfway line, a shot that, which is bizarre enough in itself, the shot is then going wide of the post. For some inexplicable reason, Josh Keighley, who is probably one of the best keepers in the league the majority of the time, he just decided to make sure it was going wide and somehow managed to tip it out for a corner. When it, if he'd have let it go, it would have maybe, you know, just whistled outside of the post for a goal kick. And then obviously from the resultant corner, yes, we don't get me wrong, we battled well, we put in a good initial delivery, and when it bobbled out, we battled well to get the ball back in the box. But the goal actually came from a Luton defender making a clearance, and he pretty much booted the ball into Bradley Ibrahim's face, and it went off his, people, you know, the old cliche of, well, you want one to go in off your backside, but it went off another type of cheek. It went on off the cheek of his face and into the net. And that really was the epitome of a one just going your way. And I think we really needed one to go our way. That's just one. So in the XG generally, I'm not somebody who's not a believer in XG. I do think it, you know, teams who are running hot on XG do tend to level out most of the time, not all of the time. And I think pretty more reliably teams who are doing very well on XG and who are creating lots of chances will tend to come good, as long as there are no other variables that change things. So this is not to dismiss XG at all. I do think we are definitely running hot with our finishing. Obviously, Bradley Ibrahim, as I mentioned, central midfielder, scored three goals in the last two games. One of them was off his face, like I just mentioned, and two of them were brilliant efforts from the edge of the area. Caleb Watts also scored an absolute worldie from the edge of the area, about 20 to 25 yards out, a little bit further out than the edge, really. And then again, found the top corner. So, yeah, I think we're going to keep scoring at such a rate of intensity? No. But I do think maybe where the XG masks a little bit is the genuine defensive improvements. Wells Luton's XG was quite high. Their open play XG was very, very low. Their XG was boosted by the fact they had two penalties. And don't get me wrong, it was our errors that gave away the penalties. I'm not going to brush over that. But they're the kind of errors that, you know, hopefully, in theory, touch wood, should happen once in a blue moon. They're not the kind of errors that you get too regularly. And the open play XG would, like I say, was certainly under one, I believe, or maybe just over one, but certainly in the ballpark of one. And that was, you know, boosted by one very, very good chance that they had when we had 10 men. So I think XG tells a very big part of the story. But I think our defensive improvements are legit. I think Stockport had quite a low XG. So whilst I think we are running hot a little bit in the attacking sense, I think we are, you know, very much seeing a genuine improvement in the defensive sense. And I think the Luton XG has to be accounted for by the fact that we had 10 men. Yes, again, it was our own players' silly decision to slide in two-footed and get a red card. But I am, whilst not dismissive of XG, I'm quietly confident that this isn't just a total fluke and the improvements are genuine.
I guess on the back of that, what is the feeling about with Cleverley? Obviously, he did quite well at Watford. I thought he was pretty harshly dismissed there. Probably hasn't gone perfectly to plan so far. After the start, were there any concerns, or are people generally backing him and he's kind of blameless and more of the angers towards the board?
I think when you lose your first four in the league, there's always going to be some questions raised, no matter how, you know, much people are blaming the board or blaming the recruitment team. If you lose your first four, there are going to be some questions asked, but I don't think it reached a pitch of intensity. Like, there were no, I didn't see one person calling for him to be sacked. I mean, not that many people probably would after four games, but I didn't see one saying, you know, we should be on the verge of sacking him, or I didn't see one saying, you know, we've made the wrong appointment. I saw a lot of people saying, as I myself was saying, that he's very tactically rigid, very wedded to his idea of how he wants to play, possibly at the expense of what's best for us as a team, and that he needs to adapt, or he could find himself in a bit of trouble, you know, a few weeks down the line. And I think, you know, he did adapt. I'm not, you know, certainly not claiming credit for it. I don't think he's done so because me or any other fans have said so, but I think he's looked at the evidence and reached the same conclusions in that regard, that he's seen that we weren't getting the best out of our team. And now he's moved to a system that's far more enabled us to get the best out of the team. I also think, and this is a bit of an underrated thing, I mean, we've had so many managers over the past, you know, 2.5-3 years after Schumacher, who was probably, you know, one of, if not the most popular managers in our history, left. We had Ian Foster, who was an arch disciplinarian by all accounts, sort of came in and decided he was going to change everything about what made the previous regime so successful. And then we had, obviously, Wayne Rooney, who, quite aside from the cult celebrity he brought to Home Park, was probably himself had such a poor work ethic that he could have done with Ian Foster managing him And then obviously we have Miron Muzlic, who, well, if Rooney was cult of celebrity, Muzlic was cult of personality. I think if you could get, I don't know if any of you remember, you guys remember that viral speech that went around from when he first got appointed. I think if he got you in a room for 2 minutes, he could probably, you know, persuade you to go out and rob a bank or something, or, you know, or something equally implausible. He was a very, very charismatic character. I personally didn't like him from the off. I thought he was a bit smarmy and I thought it was a bit fake, and I think I was proven to be right. But, you know, he's left to go and manage Schalke in the two Bundesliga, so, you know, 60,000 crowds. I can quibble about the way, I can't quibble about where the club he went to, but I can certainly quibble about the way he left, giving our board assurances that he was in it for the long haul, that we actually would completely rebuild our director of football structure in his image, for the way he wanted it. And then he literally left about 10 days after we did so. So I feel that, anyway, the point I'm getting at with all this rambling is, I feel with all that instability and all that chaos we've had with our managers, just somebody who just seems a very rounded guy, a very calm guy, a very nice guy as well, to anyone who's met him, by all accounts. I've not yet, apart from just briefly shaking his hands about on the pre-season tour. But yeah, somebody who is very grounded, very humble, nice to everybody by all accounts. Great work ethic, is always going to get some, you know, leeway from us, is always going to get some credit from us. And I think that, you know, short of being in a, and again, and as you said yourself, a lot of it is still aimed at the board of directors, and also, you know, not only the board, but also the recruitment team. Whilst I think maybe the board haven't provided the budget many fans would have hoped for, and I actually would probably say that in slightly more strong terms, actually, really, I'm probably understating it, but I also think, on top of that, the recruitment team haven't used the budget to the best of their ability. They've decided for some reason to spend, you know, again, this is not digging out players, but they've decided to spend very large sums of players for players who've not been, you know, any kind of proven record of being good at this level, which I think is always going to be a bit of a concern. And they've, I think, prioritised signing a certain model of player with resale value so highly, which obviously is a model that Peterborough have you know, done over the years to varying degrees of success. But I feel that they've been so, you know, tunnel visioned, if you like, on that model, that they've overlooked players who maybe they also don't have such good resale value, could be very capable players for us, who would have kept us up there, you know, maybe got us towards the sharp end of the league. So factoring in all of that, we kind of had the triple whammy of the budget not being too good, the recruitment team not using the budget to build the best possible squad, and also cleverly not managing the squad as adeptly as he could have done. And I think the third factor, thankfully, is it's now changed. But due to all of the above, we've cut him a bit of slack, put it that way. That was a very long answer to quite a short question. I'm so sorry.
All good, Sam. Shall we talk about tomorrow? No, Saturday. I've done it. It's not a Friday night. Sam, tell me about what you're expecting from Plymouth versus Posh. Is there anybody at Posh that you are worried about? And sort of, as you mentioned earlier, is there anyone that Posh fans need to look out for that is going to be a threat to potentially ruining our Saturday?
Well, you sold most of the ones I was worried about over the summer. With Poku, Mother Sills, Cipriano all gone. They were the players that you think of when you think of Peterborough United, you know. And I probably, to be fair, probably the same with Argyle, with Hardy, Randall, Bundu all departing. Probably we'd say the same sort of things as you'd say about us. But I do feel that there are some talented players in this squad. As you said yourself, a couple of the new guys you brought in are good. Archie Collins is a player who maybe would have been quite keen for Argyle to have a go for this summer. I think he's got roots in Devon, and he obviously was on the transfer list, wasn't he, for some time, but he seemingly has been, you know, have managed to put that to one side and knuckle down and got on with it. You know, talented player. Like I say, with the players that you had last season, and again, I know that, you know, sometimes the outsider looking in doesn't always get the best viewpoint, but it amazes me that Ferguson stayed in the job, to be honest, with the quality he had at his disposal to have you know, so near the drop zone for much of last season was quite surprising. And obviously now that you've lost, you know, a lot of those players of quality, obviously, you know, you are now bottom of the league. So I think he's probably been underperforming the squad for quite some time. And that's not a slight on Peterborough as a club. And I think there are some, have been, and to a lesser extent, to last some good players there. But I think the manager is not, he's not getting the best out of Peterborough at all. And I'm surprised he's stayed in the job as long as he has, really. I don't know whether it's just the close existing relationship across all his many, many tenures at the club. Maybe it's, you know, maybe McAntony's checked out a little bit and you know, whoever's making the decisions is maybe not sure how to go about appointing somebody else, because, you know, it's been such a churn of the same managers almost on a loop, you know, two spells of Grant McCann and four spells of Darren Ferguson, I believe it is. So, you know, whilst Peterborough's recruitment team has been absolutely brilliant at identifying great young players, it's not been perhaps brilliant at identifying great young managers. So, yeah, don't get me wrong, I think there is some talent, but I think that at home park, our home record is certainly much better than our away record generally. I think that Argyle will have enough to be able to win the game. Whether we will turn up on our best day is another matter. In terms of players who Argyle have got who can be of concern to you, I think, obviously, I've mentioned already Talai. He, obviously, this big striker come in from Port Vale. Goal-scoring record, actually, not incredible, certainly not bad. Only scored one goal in four league games. But where he really excels is bringing others into play. He runs down the line, takes the defender with him, creates room for other attackers, picks up the ball, real precision in his passing. Like, he got the assist for Sorinola with our opening goal at Luton. I urge any of you to watch that one on the highlights if you haven't. Lovely cross, couldn't have timed it better. And other than that, I would have said Caleb Watts, but it's now confirmed that he's out injured for 4 months, so that's a bit of a bummer. I suppose the other one who you, of course, would have memories of is Barley Mumba. But obviously was on loan at Peterborough, and it's now in his fourth season at Argyle, third permanent after an initial year-long loan. And he was excellent against you guys in the 2-0 home win in August of 22. We were just talking about that game off air, but it was such a hot day. It was a heat wave, and Mumba ran Peterborough ragged that day. It was the kind of old former player curse, maybe. But he's got a bit off the boil lately. Clearly a very talented player. But I think he had his eyes on a move over the summer, and I think that having not got one mentally, maybe it's been a bit tough to adapt. And also, I think really that the big thing with him is if you're going to play a system with wing-backs, he has to be the wing-back. He has to be the one who gets up and down the line, carries the ball with him. In the front three, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he can never have any good moments, but he's a ball progressor rather than a clinical finisher. And I think that's where he's going to cause the most threat, if anywhere.
Right, Sam, you're a man in demand. We discussed this before we went live. Somebody is after a fact about Plymouth and Peterborough. Please, hit us with your best three. Let's see.
Oh, my goodness me. See,
on the spot.
Yeah, this is a little bit tricky because I'm, whilst I think I'm very good at remembering details and stuff people ask me for, where I'm perhaps not so good is thinking up what would be relevant in the moment. Okay, I can tell you that we got relegated from the Championship together in 2010, and we played each other in consecutive football months, obviously May of 2010 and August of 2010 at Home Park. Peterborough won both of them, 2-1 on the final day of the Championship season when we got relegated together, and then also 3-0 to Peterborough in the August of the year after. I will also reuse one that I told you off air, that you were one of two teams to score five against us in our League One title winning season, the other one being Charlton away. You beat us 5-2 that day. Very, very poor performance from us on the road. Not the only time you scored five against us. You also beat us 5-1 at Home Park in August 2018. Ryan Edwards got what we thought was a late consolation in stoppage time to make it 4-1, and you went straight up the other end and made it 5-1. So you've actually got not such a bad record at Home Park. You've had a few wins down there over the years, haven't you? What else was there? There was one in COVID as well, I think. Oh, that season's a bit of a blur even to my memory, to be honest. I'm pretty sure you won down at Home Park in COVID. The game will probably come to me in a minute, probably just after we go off air. I know you certainly beat us away. I don't know that much for sure. You beat us 1-0 in the away game. You were Peterborough was the first time I saw Argyle win away after coming back from COVID, that League Cup game, and Argyle won 4-0 was another one. So, yeah, just a few Argyle-Peterborough memories over the years. I mean, seemingly they all seem to be quite high-scoring. We also beat you 6-1 in 2003 that I went to. So, yeah, only really talking it through now, have I realised there's been so many games that one of us has battered the other. So, maybe the same coming on Saturday. Who knows?
On that note, Sam, can you give us a score prediction? And if you think that Plymouth are going to score, can you tell us who your first goal scorer is going to be?
I will be suitably succinct for the person in the comments who wants Tobber in and wants rid of me. So I will say 1-0 to Argyle, Lauren Talai.
Oh, that's boring after you've just told us that they're massively high-scoring games.
Yeah, I know. But, that was, I mean, to be fair, one of them was way back when Barry Fry was your manager. So that said how long ago it was.
Yeah, that's certainly time's gone by. Sam, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Despite how desperate the comments are for Tobber, I think it's literally just one guy who went to school with Tobber a few times. I've really enjoyed having you on. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
And will people be able to catch you tomorrow at the game if they see you out and around? I know that there was one person.
Catch you tomorrow, as we said, because it's Thursday.
He's done it again. He's done it again.
I'm having a rotter. I think I might just have to give up. Well, where can people catch you on Saturday?
On Saturday, yeah.
You're in that block, aren't you, by where the away fans are? Yeah,
I am as of now. I wasn't last season, but I've moved to be with Pieface. So I'll be there. So come and say hello before or after the game if you're so inclined. I won't take it personally if you're not.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Cheers. Bye bye.
Cheers.
Right, before we move on to the comments, who are absolutely itching for this guy to come on, I just wanted to say thank you to Lux Elite Cleaning Services. They are a Peterborough-based company that offer window cleaning services using their water-fed pole system to ensure all those hard-to-reach windows are cleaned. They also offer gutter emptying and cleaning services using their state-of-the-art gutter cleaning. So if you are in the Peterborough or surrounding areas such as Holbeach, Eye, Glinton or Market Deeping, please be sure to reach out to them. And without any further ado, Tobber, look at you, literally.
Good start, I was on mute.
Yeah, did Tobber eat the drum? What does that mean, Max? I don't get it.
No, I don't know what that means. Tobber? I did not eat the drum. Hello, how are you?
You obviously have shared your opinion many a time. Were you happy with last weekend? Or do you think there was still room to go?
No, we're cooking now. I think the momentum is going to carry on to Saturday, and I'm very, very confident, mate. I'm happy with it.
What did you see last Saturday that sort of makes you think that it's going to carry on?
The fullbacks. I was really impressed with Mendy and Chiesa. I thought they had good games. Just getting the ball in the box, doing the basic stuff is what I was happy with. Just if we get the balls into box and if we get a penalty on Saturday, I think we score. Plymouth's keeper, he's dived the wrong way every single time this season, and he's had 8 penalties. So if we get a penalty, it's 1-0.
Evening, Tobber. Are you still Fergie out, or where are you sliding on that scale now? Fergie in, Fergie out?
two p.m. Saturday, I was Fergie out. 5 p.m. Saturday, I was Fergie in. I just want to see wins, John. I just want to see wins. And at the minute, we're winning. We're on a beating streak of one game. So at the minute, mate, I'm Fergie in. If we lose on Saturday, I'll be Fergie out.
Very reactive, Tobber. Very reactive. All right, new starting lineup. Of all the new players, who's your favourite? I'm basically looking for New Zealand citizenship because I love Matty Garbutt that much. But who is your favourite?
Alex Bass. I've gone too long. Actually, what is that fair? I've gone too long panicking about a keeper. I just want a little bit of solidness at the back.
Did you see his first touch at Huddersfield?
I did, mate. I did. But that would have been a goal if Bilo was in goal.
No concerns. No concerns with that.
No, look at all, mate. Never go. Alex Bass is the one.
It's a boring choice, though, Tobber, I've got to say.
Yeah, that's what my face was for, is who goes and goes, oh, yeah, my favourite player is a goalkeeper. That's a proper logic.
That's the favourite new player, mate. The favourite new player is a keeper.
All right, then. So who's your favourite player, then?
I don't have one. They're all crap. I don't have a favourite player at the minute. I like Archie Collins, but he's leaving.
So Alex Bass is your favourite player then by default, right?
At the minute, I would say, yeah, it'll be all right.
There we go then. So checkmate, well done. So why have you chosen a goalkeeper as your... Yeah, look, comments are not happy. Nobody's saying Jimmy J. Morgan is criminal.
Oh, I forgot. I did forget about it.
Look, it'd be rude not to ask, Tobba. People are going at you for the meal deal again. Right, let's not spend too long on this. tell me if you do pick a ham sandwich for the meal deal.
I don't, mate. I go for a BLT.
Nice. Can't complain. Sorry. Tobba, you're making the journey down on Saturday. How are you getting there?
I'm on a club supporters coach. It's going to be a really, really painful, long journey. But I'll be there.
Yeah. I'll give you a fun fact about that, which I haven't ever told you. I've been on the supporters coach once. It was to Plymouth. It was that game that Sam mentioned earlier where we won 2-1 in the championship and it was our last game before we got relegated. And it was the worst experience of my life and I vowed never to go on the coach again. We stopped at a services on the way back. I had a Burger King and the next morning I woke up and I was being sick everywhere. So that... Absolutely, completely unrelated to the coach, but that's the only memory that I've got of it. So I hope you have a fantastic day on Saturday on the coach. I'm really looking forward to seeing you there, but it's going to be a long one.
What time is that? Sorry, what time is that?
7, mate. Leaves at 7.
Oh, I thought it'd be worse than that. 7's not too bad.
Well, it's 5:30 for Exeter, wasn't it?
It was 5:30 for Exeter. Yeah, that was too early. And that was me pouring my drink down myself. I'll tell you what, actually, I've just remembered that game that I went on the coach, it was even worse because that was a 12:30 kickoff. So we did genuinely leave at like 3:00 in the morning. If I remember correctly, I actually didn't sleep because it was Manny Pacquiao versus Mayweather that night. So I watched that before getting and basically going to the... to the ground. There's a few Jacob saying don't slander the coach. Right. Oh, there's some serious coach slander. I'm hoping that one day we'll be able to do an up the podcast bus, but anytime that I offer them, nobody takes me up on my offer. We were meant to be doing one for Bolton. I had 3 responses. We could have done one for Bolton. We could have had 50 people. It would have been quality. So that there's your choice. Tobba, talk to me about Saturday. Obviously you've said that Alex Bass is your favorite goalkeeper. What do you want to see on Saturday? What lineup? There was a question earlier on. I can't find it. Let's talk about Ben Woods because Fergie said in his interview today that he's ready to go. Are you bringing him in?
Nah, he's on the bench for me. Why change a team that's doing well? We won a game. Just keep it as that. Just take out Lingren off that bench and put in Woods, and I'm a happy man.
You're not going to have a striker on the bench then? Or are you keeping Lisby as your striker?
I mean, is Lingren a striker?
That's what it says on FIFA. If I'm led to believe correctly, he's going to score goals. I'm confident of that. I'm going to double down on my comments last week, much to John's frustrations. He's going to get at least 10 league goals this season. I'm confident of that.
It's just pure waffle, isn't it? I'm confident. What are you confident in? By the way, this is an insight into the Up the Podcast group chat. Ash was blaming Brandon Keller for Gustav Lindgren's one-on-one miss where he didn't even get a shot off last week. And then he gave him a point for clapping a sub off. Like, we are desperate here. We're really desperate. No,
that is completely untrue. And I've spoken to many a person that said that A, the pass wasn't good enough from Keller, and B, it should have gone to Harry Leonard on the other side so that he could have flashed a shot across the goal. Leave Gustav alone. We've already failed with one Swede. We can't have another one that fails.
He's crap.
Yeah, I'm firmly Team Tobba here, as you're all aware. So you're going unchanged, are you, Tobba? There's just nothing you'd do to that starting lineup.
Just bring in Ben Woods on the bench, and that'll do for me.
I think I agree with you, actually. There's not really anyone that you're concerned about, is there? What about Nevitt? Let's talk Nevitt, because Nevitt's obviously playing quite well. Are you fully sold on Nevitt when Sam Hughes gets back? Are you taking Lees out of the team or are you keeping Nevitt? What are you thinking there?
I think it was Ashley that said on this on a pod a couple of episodes ago, the Tom Lees signing is very, very good for George Nevitt. And the last couple of games, Jordan Everett has looked quite good, hasn't he? He's been quite good. The start of the season, I was slagging him off every single game. But he's proved me wrong recently. He's been all right. I'll definitely keep him in when Hughes come back. And I imagine Lees goes out when Hughes is back. Is that how we're doing it?
Yeah, I guess so. I think obviously the big one was Tom O'Connor and Fergie. He was another one that Fergie mentioned in his interview today, wasn't he? That he is just so relaxed. And that just probably breeds confidence, especially in somebody like George Nevitt. Like you say, I don't think that George Nevitt has had a bad start to the season. He obviously last season was a little bit ropey at times, but you can clearly see that with two experienced centre-backs either side of him, that he's a lot more comfortable. And I also think that despite it being the most boring position on the pitch, having somebody like Alex Bass, like you mentioned behind him, who is... did I say this? I can't remember whether I said this or not. If he makes a mistake, he forgets about it, doesn't he? Alex Bass, like with his kicking last week. The kicking was poor in the second half. He made the mistake, he forgot about it. Back at Huddersfield. Gosh, can you imagine, what it would have been like if Bilo were to have done that thing that he did in the first minute? It would have just been a disaster, wouldn't it? So I think you're right. I think that the comments come in. That's a big claim. What do you reckon, Toa? Go on, talk to me.
I think DeMarcus has been drinking, and I think he needs to love the alcohol.
Yeah, and Kenan, who we had on last week, has said that he looked like a competition winner. So I don't think those are unfair comments, particularly, is that there were points in time last season where Nevitt was good with the ball at his feet, and we know that that's what he's good at. But when he actually had to play football and was trying to defend, he just didn't look like a defender. I'm not a top. God, Toby, you went to school with this guy. I think he's trying to like bait me out.
I did.
Like that's pure rage bait.
Joe Ward was my favorite player for years at Foster, I must admit.
Okay then. How about you were a Posh fan when? Well, you must have been if Joe Ward. Well, you remember when they did that pizza box thing?
Yeah, yeah.
How did you feel when they didn't open?
I wasn't that bothered because I quite like the shirt. I've got the shirt hanging up. I actually got two because I brought the wrong size. So I got two of them. But it wasn't that bothered.
Toba, Joe Ward or Peter Kyoso? Who are you taking?
Peter Kyoso. What a beautiful man.
Good answer. You might have the two worst favourite players of all time, by the way. Joe Ward and Alex Bass. In the teams they are in. Like, what's going on here, Toba?
I'm a very simple man, John. I just like people doing the basics. Yeah, I know that. I just like people doing the basics. Just don't mess around with it. Get the ball and just pass it. That's all I ask for. And Joe Ward was quite good, and he scored a few good goals. Sheffield Alex Wednesday Bass does the basics.
Not put you off at Sheffield Wednesday a little bit?
Well, when he scored the free kick in the home leg.
Forget about that one.
It wasn't a free kick, first and foremost. It was a deflected shot that if it didn't take the deflection, it wasn't going in. And then he goes and gives away a penalty, Toba.
Now, we just forget about Hillsborough. No mention it.
I think we can probably all get behind that. Toba, tell me about Con Clark. Because do you know what? Was that a weird one? Where did I hear that? Somebody mentioned it. Maybe it was DMAC in the pod. He said that if Con Clark isn't going to go, that he maybe then needs to look to try to work himself back into the manager's plans. Do you see a future for Con Clark at Posh, Toba?
Not after what's happened this season. During pre-season, I was really, really looking forward to this season with Con Clark, because he looked like he trimmed down a bit. And I know it's Stamford, but against Stamford, he did look quite good. And it got me a bit excited. And then we just didn't see him, did we? I was quite disappointed. But I don't think there's a way back after the season unless Fergie goes and we bring in a new manager. But I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. So that links on nicely to probably the next man that probably needs a new manager in the door, Brad. Obviously, we saw him in the gym together, didn't we? When we were in David Lloyd's. Do you want a return for Brad? We obviously discussed that I still think that he has a chance of a future at Posh. Is that somebody that you would want to come back in and play a part at Posh this season? Let's say that Fergie has to go for Brad to come back. Is that something that you would want?
Yeah, absolutely. I really, really like Brad. And I don't really know why, because he didn't really do that much. I just love that he's just a proper striker, proper number nine. He just reminded me of JCH. He just walked around. and had a few shots. I just really liked him. I was quite disappointed he went to Shrewsbury because I think he's better than that. I think he's better than League Two.
Yeah, but he's scoring goals, isn't he? And sometimes you need a little bit of confidence. And because he, like, this is the thing, he says he's a proper number nine, but he's nothing like JCH, is he really? Because JCH knew where the back, yeah, but JCH knew where the back of the net was. Despite how many miles he didn't cover in a game, he would put the ball in the back of the net, and he did it, what, three seasons running for Bosch, even in the Championship?
Brad's got about 4 or 5 goals this season already. He knows where the net is as well. He just, the service to him this season just wasn't good enough. And he's getting good service at Shrewsbury, and he's putting the ball back in the net.
I don't disagree with that. Do you think that he would have fit in with this change of system?
Yeah, definitely.
John, yeah. You're nodding. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, I think it's still a bit mystifying for me that Brad was the one who went out and we kept Gustav. I think if you were backing one of them, you would say, well, I certainly would say Brad looks the more likely. I don't think either of them are... Look, I see some potential in Brad. I thought his performance at Cardiff on the first day of the season was really, really good, actually. He then dropped off quite significantly and he did struggle a bit. But there is something there with Brad, I think. I just don't see that with Gustav. So if I was to back one of the two, certainly as an impact sub, I think he would be a really good impact sub. More than that as well, he offers something a bit different to Leonard and Jimmy J, doesn't he? He's a little bit more powerful, probably a little bit stronger in the air than both of them. And that physicality off the bench would have been relatively useful. So I do think it's disappointing that Fergie seemingly can't get on with him. And that seems to be the reason. But I can't see a way back for him now while Fergie, you know, is in charge, given that I feel like he had his second chance, didn't he? And for whatever reason, it didn't work. So... hopefully he bangs in the goals at Shrewsbury, keeps bringing them in, and then if Fergie's here, we can sell him for some decent money, because he's going to get decent money if he does well in League Two. Or if Fergie goes, which is still a possibility, then he can come back, and I think as a third choice striker he'd probably do a decent job.
Yeah, fair comments. Tobba, obviously long journey down, you've already admitted that, and a long journey back home as well. What do you want to see? Give me your score prediction on Saturday. And if you think that Posh are going to score, give me the first goal scorer.
I think we are going to score. I think we are going to win. I think we're going to get 2 penalties and score them both. I think we're going to win the game 3-1. The first goal scorer, go for Harry Leonard to open his Posh account. Look forward to it.
Tobbo, are you putting Harry Leonard on pens then? Is that your prediction? Because we don't have a penalty taker at the minute.
Yeah, yeah. Put the million man on pens. Get his goal tally up. It will look good.
Nice. No Benjamin Sesko's here hiding at the 10th penalty taker after a big money signing.
He's better than Sesko, mate.
Right. Tobba, thank you for joining us. I'm going to let you go and enjoy the rest of your evening. And, well, we'll both see you on Saturday in Plymouth.
We will.
Hopefully you make it that far. Have you decided whether you're going to sleep or not before getting on the coach?
As it stands, I'm going a night out on Friday night, so it's not looking good. I might not see you on Saturday.
Oh, it's looking unlikely now, isn't it?
But
where are you going from Friday night? Where are you going?
Just into town, as it stands.
Redrum.
But flares, honking sight of flares. But now it'll be all right.
So there's every chance that you could end up out that late that you end up going straight from the nightclub straight to the bus.
Nah, not 7 a.m. late. I'm not that much. How about 2, 3 a.m. I get done. I get bored. I want bed.
Well, yeah. Tobago said you could go to Angels.
I will not be seen in Angels.
No, because we're all going down to Plymouth on Friday night. Cool. Thank you, Tobba. I'm going to take you off, and me and John are going to go and do our predictions now. Thank you for joining us, though.
Thank you.
Cheers, Tobba.
Bye.
Right. I'm gonna run through everybody else's predictions, and then people will have seen yours, but we can talk through ours, can't we? Once we've done it. So first up, Charlie, 1-0 Posh win. Keller with the first goal. Dell, 2-2, back to the 2-2 after a hiatus last week. Jimmy J. Morgan to score first. Harry with a particularly strange one, and I think we'll definitely comment on this afterwards. 1-0 Posh with Peter Kioso being the first goal scorer. Lods, 3-2 Plymouth. So I think that means, yeah, Lods is the only person to predict Posh to lose, Matthew Garbett to score first, and then Max with a 1-0 Posh, Harry Leonard first goal scorer. Obviously, everybody will have seen that there. John, you've gone for a Posh win. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right. Yeah. I feel like I told you I got this unfair stick of being negative when actually it was just because the team was that bad. We've got a better team now. And I think, look, I actually think this is probably the toughest game we've got in the upcoming sort of five or six. It's probably the hardest one. So I don't want to, as long as we don't get stuffed, I don't want to go overboard on it if we lose 2-1 and it's an encouraging performance, because it is a tough game. But I've seen enough, and I think theoretically we should only get better because the players should be a week fitter. They should be a little bit more match sharp. And we just, there's not really too many holes in the team anymore. Like, the two strikers look good. The three centre mids look decent. Collins we know about. Garbutt looks excellent, as I've said before. And Keller looks decent, doesn't he? I think he's improved as well. Nevitt's been arguably our player of the season so far. O'Connor looks great. Lees has done his job since he came in. The two wing-backs I like, particularly, obviously, we know Kyoso. And Bass looks good. So, of that starting 11, I'm relatively confident in it. And it feels like there's a bit of buoyancy at Posh at the minute, which it hasn't felt like for ages. But I do feel like there's a little bit more confidence coming back in, and it feels a little bit of a happier camp. And yeah, I think we can go there and win. There's nothing to fear, is there? Really, they've not started the season great either. They're in a similar position to us. So if we can score first, that crowd will turn a little bit. There'll still be a bit of frustration around, I would think. Yeah, I think we can go there and win.
Yeah, so I've gone with a 2-2 draw, just purely because we don't normally travel long distances particularly well. I think of Exeter, and I think back to trips that I've gone down to Plymouth. It just never seems to work, and I don't know whether that's an experience thing. You think back to the last couple of times that we played them, we've had relatively young squads, haven't we? And they don't, maybe they're staying up too late, or they don't travel well in the hotel and things like that. Obviously, they are going and training at Bristol Rovers tomorrow, Fergie said. So that'll obviously break up the journey. I just hope that maybe they settle in well at the hotel that they're staying at down in Plymouth, hopefully. So I don't want to predict us to lose, because I like you say, John, it feels like everything's right. I just think that potentially exactly the same as what you said, it does really matter who scores first. And hopefully both of our strikers can get on the score sheet on Saturday. And it would be nice for Leonard to sort of get off the mark. Like, he's obviously done a lot of help for Jimmy J. Morgan so far. It'd be nice for him to get a goal, just to sort of take that relief and that weight off of his shoulders. But like I said, I'll put that back on the screen. Next Level Barbell Clubs Predictions League. You've got until 1 o'clock on Saturday to get your predictions in. So you've still got basically still a full 36 hours, essentially, to get that in. That's up on the screen now. Get your predictions in. We're still seeing that there's a lot of time for people to get in to win that £250 cash prize. So there's plenty of time. Before we go, it'd be rude not to do what we do every week and run back through the comments. Obviously, I don't really have a massive comment on that, but we did sort of brand last weekend as the El Sakiko, and that it could have been Fergie if Wickham were to have beaten Posh. Let's keep going. Yeah, Howard Moon spending a lot of money on players who haven't proven it. Yeah, that did feel very Posh. Noah Salt's gone with another win. Yeah, John, did you comment on this? Do you reckon that Ben Woods comes straight into the team?
No, I didn't comment, but I can't see him starting. I think Keller played well enough last week to keep his place, and you're not going to take out Collins or Garber. He will come on, and I'm looking forward to seeing him, but I think it'll be that 60-minute change. Keller off, Woods on. I think that's what I would predict.
Yeah, do you know what? This is quite a harsh comment from Reese. I think the team is weak. Fergie's done it before. If the recruitment team do it right, I don't agree with that. Do you agree with that, John?
No, I just said, obviously, these are new players, so you don't want to be like, wow, this seems amazing already. But from what I've seen of them so far, I genuinely don't think it is a weak starting lineup anymore. I like the two strikers. I think they both look like good players. Jimmy J looks a really good find, considering his goal scoring record in League Two. He's stronger than I thought he would be for 19. And when he came in, he said, well, I don't really like being kicked. But he doesn't play like a player that doesn't like being kicked. He doesn't play like a Joel Randle, which is good. Leonard, yeah, hasn't scored yet, but I've liked what I've seen from Leonard. Again, holds the ball up well. Links play, looks a bit of an all-rounder. Unlucky not to have scored. Good header last week, I thought. Very unlucky. Looks good in the air, actually. I don't think the starting lineup's weak at all. I think now the starting lineup is actually very competitive at this level. Not sure I'd go as far as Dower in saying it's one of the best squad he's ever put together, but I would say it's a top half starting lineup now.
Yeah, I think so. I just think, like we said at the start of the season with some of the younger players, I just think that we need to give them a little bit of time, and it might not be September that it clicks. It might be that we have to wait until October before we really start to sort of see a run of games. Last thing, Freddie Butcher, that is nuts. Flying to Newquay tomorrow night for the game, £20 flight from Stansted. That's the way to travel. Yeah, that is a bargain. I'm staying halfway, I think, just outside Gloucester, because I want to break up the journey. I'm taking Shannon and Imogen with me, and we're going to go and watch the women as well on Sunday, because they are literally 20 minutes away from where we're staying. They've got Worcester away, which I'm thoroughly looking forward to, because they're still unbeaten in the league and they're going to go and win again on Sunday. John, you're coming down as well?
I am. I'm coming down tomorrow. We're leaving at 10. I might stop off in Bristol. We're going via Bristol. So I might go to the Rovers training ground, give some Abraham Otto some abuse and clap the rest of the players. So watch out for that. And then, yeah, I'm going down with the missus and the dog and a couple of our friends. And we've got an Airbnb. We're going to make a weekend of it. Hopefully the football doesn't ruin the weekend and I'm in a foul mood on Saturday night when we go down the pub.
Well, the positives are at least you'll have the pub. I think the only thing that's probably else worth mentioning is tomorrow is the free kicks golf day. I am attending. I've got two of my mates playing. We've got a special guest, Kramer Kale Smith. John, I don't want to rub it in, but I am playing golf with Kramer Kale Smith. Your trip down to the seaside has been ruined. I really hope you enjoy Bristol whilst I'm, you know, sinking putts with Kramer Kale Smith. What I would like everybody to do is just head over to the Free Kicks Facebook page, because they do an auction at these golf days and there's some pretty top quality signed shirts. We had a quick look before. There's Poku, there's a Declan Rice shirt, there's an England shirt, which don't bid on because I've got my eyes on that. So don't go bidding on that. But if you want to get some bids in, I think that 80 Miles takes bid, and I think that Steve takes some bids in as well, so that you've got those there. But please do check that out. But
you've missed out, Ash. You've missed out the ultra rare piece of memorabilia. They've got a Rio Adebisi match worn shirt. So, wow. I don't know how they've got the hold of that. There can only be one in existence, I reckon, isn't there?
Yeah, it must be the 20 minutes that he had at Stockport, unless it's a pre-season game, potentially. He didn't play any pre-season this year, did he? So it would have been last season. Yeah, I think he played at Boston and then a few others last season. But I reckon, yeah, that Stockport. What kit did we wear at that?
That's a one.
No, it can't be match worn if it's the home kit, because we wouldn't have worn the home kit. So it must just be like match a sponsor's issues. Kit.
Was he on the bench once, maybe?
I don't know. Every chance. Yeah. Right, cool. With that, I think that's everything. Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. John, thanks for joining me as well. No game tomorrow. Let's just get that crystal clear. Tomorrow is Friday. Hopefully see. And actually, I think there's over 500 Posh fans going on Saturday, which is one hell of a turnout. And with that, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.